Own a boat or RV? It's like you're automatically on vacation, even if you're actually a marriage counselor in the middle of couples therapy. But in your mind, you're camping in Acadia, puttering around Frenchman Bay. Your boat and RV are both protected. Your lobster drenched in butter and... Uh-oh, did your clients just notice you weren't listening? Quick, do the thing where you just repeat back exactly what they said but as a question. They bought it. Now back to Maine, earning an automatic discount bundling your boat or RV with your home or auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
And good morning. It is 8:06 in the morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Mid-Columbia Mornings continuing on News Radio 103.9 1300 KACI, 98.3 FM 1340 AM KIHR. We're online at GorgeRadio.com and we're on Alexa through the KIHR skill. And here's what we're doing this morning. First part of the show, we're waiting on a phone call from Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGill. He's going to join us this morning, and we're going to talk some about what is coming up again today, the second of the Rowena Fire Recovery Multi-Agency Resource Center events, scheduled 4 to 7 today. That's going to be at the Wasco County Veterans Services Office on 401 East 3rd, Suite 100 in the Dalles. So that's what we're planning to do first here this morning. Second half of the show, we'll be joined by White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. And we'll talk about what they've got going on as the school year ends, what the Washington Legislature's budget situation has done with their school budget situation, and we'll get also an update on their facilities efforts. So all that is coming up on MCT, but first, as we always do, we're going to tell you what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. On this day in 1778, American forces entered Philadelphia as the British withdrew from the Revolutionary War. 1812, the War of 1812 began as the U.S. Congress approved and President James Madison signed a declaration of war against Britain. 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte was defeated in the Battle of Waterloo as British and Prussian troops defeated the French Imperial Army in Belgium. 1979, President Jimmy Carter and Soviet President Leonid Brezhnev signed the SALT II Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty in Vienna. 1983, astronaut Sally Ride became America's first woman in space as she and four other NASA astronauts blasted off aboard the Space Shuttle Challenger on a six-day mission. 1986, 25 people were killed when a twin-engine plane and helicopter carrying sightseers collided over the Grand Canyon. 1992, the U.S. Supreme Court in Georgia versus McCollum ruled that criminal defendants could not use race as a basis for excluding potential jurors from their trials. 2018, President Donald Trump announced he was directing the Pentagon to create the Space Force as an independent branch of the U.S. Armed Forces. 2020, the Supreme Court in the case of Department of Homeland Security versus Regents of the University of California rejected by a 5-4 decision President Donald Trump's effort to end legal protections for more than 650,000 young immigrants. And in 2023, the submersible vessel Titan on an expedition to view the wreckage of the Titanic in the North Atlantic Ocean imploded, killing all five people aboard. Days for today, it's Go Fishing Day today. So if you want to go out there and stick your line in the water, apparently today is a good day to do it. It is National Splurge Day today. This is for go out and do something good for yourself. It is also International Panic Day for some reason. Not sure why. I'm not sure it's a good thing, by the way. Our food-related stuff today, it's National Cheesemakers Day today. We salute all the folks who make our cheese, including the good folks out in Tillamook. It is International Picnic Day today. Good day maybe to get outside. It is a bit windy out there. That could be an issue for you. But a chance to get outside and enjoy your lunch. And perhaps your lunch will involve this. It won't involve this for me, I guarantee you that. I am not fond of this. It's International Sushi Day today. I know a lot of you do like sushi out there. I prefer my fish cooked, thank you. But if you enjoy it, be my guest. I also don't need anything wrapped in seaweed. I just can't get into that. I'm good with the rice. I'll take the rice from you. But anyway, that's what we've got for what it's worth, which may not be a whole lot. 8:10 when we come back. Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGill right after this.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Are you annoyingly inattentive? Do you watch a movie and then ask a zillion questions because you weren't paying attention? Do people ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should get a mattress from Mattress Firm. They can help anyone sleep. Mattress Firm's July 4th sale is on now. Get a king bed for a queen price and save up to $700. Plus, get a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
At Pier Stoke Sports, we've got what you need for your kind of fun in the gorge. Trails, wind, water. We have the hottest pair of wings from Ozone in stock now. Plus smoking hot wing foil packages. Woo-hee! Ice axes, crampons, and skins for your mountaineering adventures are here. Our camping department is fully stocked with Deuter backpacks and waste packs for mountaineering, day hikes, trail running, and more. Plus skateboards as well as complete decks. Shop for fun. Shop Pier Stoke. New and used gear for four seasons of adventure.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is 8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Mark Bailey with you on this Wednesday morning. And we're now joined by Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGill. Good morning, Lane.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. First things first here, let's talk a little bit about what's going on this afternoon. 4 to 7 out at the Wasco County Veterans Services Office on 401 East 3rd in the Dalles. This will be the second go-around for this, but it's a multi-agency resource center for folks who have been impacted by the Rowena fire. What do you got going on out there?
Yep. So basically, that resource center is for citizens that have damaged property or lost their property in the Rowena fire, so they can go there tonight. We've already had one, I believe it was on the 16th, and so we have one tonight from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's at 401 East 3rd Street, and it's on the east end of the building. For those that are local and stuff that have been around for a number of years, it's the old Payless building. So that's the building that Wasco County purchased here a couple of years ago. But anyways, it's at the Veterans Office. Just look for the sandwich boards. But it's really a one-stop shop for residents that have had damaged property, damaged homes. So they can go there and talk to the planning department about rebuilding their home. They can talk about environmental stuff. I believe we have mental health clinicians that are going to be there. So if they have some, you know, stress things that they'd like to talk about, the food bank is generally going to be attending those types of things and stuff. So it's really some place where citizens can go and start to have those conversations with the resources that they're going to need moving forward after this devastating incident.
And if I remember right, the number you gave over the weekend, I think it was 56 homes and 91 other buildings got destroyed. Do we have anything new on that?
Yeah, no, that is correct. We're still at 56 homes on the original damage or the second damage assessment or second phase of the damage assessment with the 91 outbuildings. The only thing that's potentially going to, well, it will change is that original or secondary damage assessment report showed only 18 vehicles damaged, and we're probably going to be in the hundreds when it comes to that. So a lot more vehicles, and they're still doing that. The fire teams and assessment teams are still out there doing some of that stuff. But yes, 56 homes and 91 outbuildings is still the confirmed number.
Mm-hmm. There are still some level 2 and level 1 evacuation advisories. They certainly have been cut back greatly in the last couple days. I also got word here this morning, before we went on, the Oregon Department of Forestry is completing its work with the incident management team too. It's going to the fire command going to be transferred back to local agencies here. It sounds like in the very near future. Don't have an exact time yet, but it's coming. With the evacuation levels, do you anticipate continued downgrades here over the next few days?
Yeah, we do. As a matter of fact, we have a meeting tomorrow in the morning to have a full expectation, hopefully, of an entire closeout and reduction of all the evacuations. Mm-hmm. That's the plan right now. I will say that west southwest side of that fire has given them some real problems with a lot of heavy debris in there and, you know, rocky terrain and different things like that. However, 3 or 4 days ago, they had a really good firing or burning operation in there, and they got a lot of that cleaned out, and they're feeling a whole lot better as of yesterday. That was one of the other reasons we did some reductions around the actual fire line, closer even here to the Dalles. So I'm confident that we're going to get there for sure. I don't want to say that that's actually going to happen until the fire operations guys from the wildland side of it tell me that we're confident that we've got our lines secured. But that's the hope to get all that just completely eliminated.
Well, I know what, not just, you know, fire danger, but a lot of the danger I know lately has been with people going back in is about falling trees. And I know that that is a concern.
Yeah, and so they had, I believe, as of two days ago, 4 saw teams, tree trimmers, and those people in there working on that. They started at 100 feet back on some of that stuff, and then they went back through and they did a reassessment. Now they're going to move back into the 300-foot range with stuff for those residences and parts of the fire where the firefighters are working. They're only trimming trees that would impact actual firefighting operations. The rest of the trees and stuff like that, the homeowners will start to work probably with their insurance companies and those organizations to see if that needs further mitigation on their property. So that's what they're doing right now. They had really, really good luck as of yesterday when I was at my operations meeting. They made huge impacts in the tree removal. The other thing, too, if I can just jump in and say one of the things that we're really, really stressing people, if you're going back into that area and you're a property owner, we strongly recommend that you, there's a lot of carcinogenic stuff in there. There's asbestos, there's oil from, you know, that's burned, you know, I mean, the cars, aluminum, you name it. If it's a chemical or it's a toxin, it's probably on your property. You've got to be wearing a mask, an N95 mask. We actually strongly recommend that you wear a Tyvek suit and you wear gloves and you wear shoes and things like that. We understand you want to be back at your place and try to get back on your feet, but I just got off a meeting with the DEQ, and I've had conversations already with the EPA on some of this stuff, and there's some real concern that, you know, people need to be wearing their PPE to protect themselves, because we don't want you getting sick. So, and we're working as a county to try to get those resources in here through the state and the federal side of it. There's all the processes that you have to go through, but we've put a team together here at the county to actually get that going. I just jumped off that meeting with DEQ, and they're going to start sending us information for protection, you know, for yourself as an individual, as well as, you know, like what you wear for masks and things like that. So I just can't stress that enough. You know, I see what's happened in 2020 in Southern Oregon and the carcinogenic stuff and the people that got sick over that, you know, and the reports of it was just, it's real concerning for us. So just please take extra precautions if you're listening to this radio show.
And actually, of course, that is part of also reason why they're, I know for the Rowena Crest Manor and Tule Water District, it's a don't drink the water and don't use the water for consumption.
Correct.
At this time.
Yeah, that is a big deal because of the ashes and all the debris that's come off of this. You know, I mean, it's contaminating or probably going to contaminate wells for sure. So we don't want people drinking that water. You know, you can reach out, go through the Mark Center. They'll be able to get you dialed into where you can get water resources and different things like that, you know. So, yeah, just, I mean, there's a lot of things that are, you know, I think about stuff immediately in the fire as a sheriff, you know, evacuating people and life and safety and things like that. But then you really start looking at the long-term impacts of this incident, and your health is, and the health of our citizens is extremely important. So take care of that, please. I can't stress that enough.
And again, I want to mention the Multi-Agency Resource Center, again, is going to be from 4 to 7 today. Wasco County Veterans Service Office, 401 East 3rd in the Dalles for that. And is there going to be another round of these? I mean, I kind of got the impression from the press release a couple days ago when this was announced that there might be another round or two announced.
You know, I have not heard that, but I would make that assumption moving forward as we go through the recovery process as a county and as a state. So, yeah, I go ahead and anticipate that's probably going to be happening. Those resources are going to be in play, at least from my perspective, you know, and being a representative of the county, because we want to try to do the best we can to help our citizens. It's going to be a long process. I was telling somebody the other day, this is not going to get fixed overnight. This is going to be a long, long road for a lot of people, including, you know, us government officials at the county. I mean, the recovery time is going to take, you know, potentially years for some of this to get finally finished up. So we're in it for the long haul, I can tell you that. And as long as I'm sheriff and it's directly related to public safety, I'll do what I can to help our citizens stay safe for sure. Yeah.
Well, also I had here, I also wanted to go beyond just kind of the factual stuff into kind of going back to how this all, you know, began with the fire, et cetera. And maybe I'll first of all ask about investigation. Where is that at? And I believe it's the state fire marshal's office that actually handles it, isn't it?
So the Oregon Department of Forestry.
Okay.
Actually took the lead on the investigation, but it was a multi-jurisdictional investigation. So the Oregon State Fire Marshal was involved, Department of Forestry, ODM, and then I can't remember the third organization that was involved. So they actually took the lead on the investigation as far as the cause and everything like that. From a sheriff's office perspective, we didn't get involved in the investigation because at this time there was nothing that would be articulated as criminal.
Right.
So the state forestry and all our state partners, they went ahead and took that. We don't have a determination from them yet.
Yeah.
Likely that's going to be several months away potentially till they get all of their evidence put together and reports and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGill with us. Yeah. What was it like in those opening couple hours? I mean, I remember being in this studio and I was constantly changing information. It's hard, you know, I think at the start to realize how big this was going to be. And I know, I mean, the evacuation levels just kept going, you know, quicker and quicker and further and further. What was it like in those opening hours?
Well, when I first got there and come around the corner on Highway 30, from what we call Tule Terrace, I knew it was going to be pretty bad. I knew the winds were pretty bad, you know, and the conditions were right for a fire. So when I saw it, I'm like, yep, this is going to go big, and it's going to go big really, really fast. I can tell you that I've had two major incidents as sheriff. The first one that are very memorable, the first one I had was 33 days into my tenure, was the Mosher train derailment, and I thought that was a big deal, and it was. Don't misunderstand me. But I can tell you this here, this was really big. This literally takes the cake for me as a sheriff as far as an incident in Wasco County. When I got to the incident command post, the wind was sustained at about 35 to 40 knots, and then there was gusts probably in the 60-mile-an-hour range. I mean, I looked out at the Columbia River, and there was 8 to 10-foot swells out there. And then when you start hearing the radio, firefighters, were, you can hear them talking on the radio that they were getting overrun, we've got to pull out and stuff like that, and this thing starts going across, and then you start hearing things like, we're losing the structure at, you know, here, we're losing a structure there. So I knew it was going to go pretty fast. Unfortunately, I guess, or fortunately in some ways, you know, I was here for the 2014 Rowena fire, and it basically started in the same area. The winds were a little bit different, but we had a pretty good estimation on where this thing was going to burn, and we knew it was going to burn pretty fast. You know, even if you go back to the 2018 year when we had the substation fire, based on those winds in 2018 and this, we knew it was going to go pretty fast. So we started putting evacuation notices out just as fast as we could. We mobilized every asset at the sheriff's office. Every deputy came out and helped, and then including parole and probation, they came out, did door-to-door notifications, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was very, very intense that first 24 hours, I can tell you that.
I say, when as you outline all this, I assume at some point when everything kind of, well, I'm not sure everything in the rearview mirror, because as you said, it's going to be a long time before everything's in the rearview mirror of this fire. But at some point, once you kind of get through this, all the initial parts of this, I assume you step back as a group, yourself, Sheridan McClellan, your emergency management director, et cetera. You step back and you probably take debrief the whole thing and
yep,
try to figure out, again, the speed at which this occurred. I mean, I'm not sure anybody could have kept up with it.
Yeah. Oh, no. There's, uh-huh. I mean, I've been in this business for 23 years. I've seen a lot of fires, everything from the substation fire to this fire to the mm-hmm. Mill Creek fire, the Sheldon Ridge fire. I've been right in the thick of it. And this was, in my mind, short of the substation fire as far as speed goes.
Yeah.
Because it was in flash fuels like wheat and stuff like that. This was more oak trees and sagebrush and different things like that. While the substation fire burned extremely fast, you know, this burned not only fast, but this, when it starts engulfing structures and stuff like that, it's a big deal. Like I said, I've never seen anything quite like it, never experienced anything ever before like this in my career. I've seen a lot of it around the state. You know, you look back to 2020 and see the devastation in Southern Oregon, and then here we are having the exact same thing happen in Wasco County. Yeah, it's impactful to, I said it at the community meeting, it's impactful to our deputies, it's impactful to the staff, it's impactful to the community, it's impactful to the residents, you know, but we'll figure it out. We're going to get better. You know, we're going to come out of this, you know, in my mind, with a better type of response plans, maybe. I don't know if we could do that. Yeah. We do debrief these types of conversations or these types of incidents. We have those conversations. So, yeah, is there things we can do better? Yeah. Is there things that we could have done better? Probably not, maybe because of the weather. I mean, we'll go through that process of, you know, how did the communications work? How did incident command work? What was the response? What could I do better as a sheriff? What can we do better as emergency management? What can fire do better? Maybe there's nothing we can do better, but yeah, we do have those conversations for sure.
It'll be interesting. I mean, what I will take out of it, having, you know, I've been over 35 years now in this business, was the speed of which it all, of everything was happening. I mean, it was just, you couldn't get information out fast enough. Just couldn't.
No, we couldn't. I actually had residents tell me at the community meeting, they said, oh, there was an alert. They didn't even smell the smoke, and 5 minutes later, they were having to evacuate their house. That's how fast this thing was happening.
Man, wow. That's, you know, that again, yep. It's just unbelievable. And I will note, by the way, tomorrow, Columbia Fire and Rescue's David Jensen is going to join us on the show. We're going to talk about kind of moving forward from here on this fire, once ODF has moved on to another incident. But again, the Multi-Agency Resource Center, before I mention that again, you know, someone say, you know, they just can't make this the center event from 4 to 7 today. I assume if they contact, you know, someone in Wasco County, if they can get some help.
Yep, we'll put them in touch wherever they need to be put in touch with. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure, Mark, but I believe that they were going to put a call number up or a line that people could call into for like if they needed future resources. Do not quote me on that.
Okay.
But you know what? If you can't get through to anybody, you call the sheriff's office and we'll sort it out for you and we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
Yeah. It's hard for me not to quote you on live radio, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And by the way, just so we know, on a fun note,
yes.
I totally agree with your comments on sushis. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. I'll pass on that.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad to end on a light note there, buddy.
Well, we need some lightness here. Hey, Lane, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. I know it's been a really long haul for you, and it continues to be, and we will continue to get information out to people as need be. Thanks for doing this.
Yep. Yep, thanks, and thanks to our partners for helping us get through this.
Yep, hey, thank you very much. Lane McGill, Wasco County Sheriff, 8:30 in the morning on MCT News. Then we'll talk White Sand Valley Schools with Rich Polkinghorne right after this.
When it's more than just your lawn, it deserves the Kubota Z400. Get a head-turning offer on class-leading speed, agility, simple deck height adjustments, and a quality cut. When you need comfort and performance, then you need the professional-grade Kubota Z400. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment for zero down, 0.99% APR for up to 36 months. Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
See Shepherd's 440 Riverside Drive, Hood River, your Kubota dealer.
Experience a more exhilarating way to fish on the Jetski Ultra 160 LXS Angler from Hood River Power Sports and Marine. Fishing fanatics and watercraft enthusiasts can now enjoy their favorite fishing spots on the river like never before. With a powerful 1498cc inline four-cylinder engine, all-day comfort, and cutting-edge technology, the Jetski Ultra 160 LXS Angler is the watercraft designed so you can catch the good times. Get down to Hood River Power Sports and Marine for your new Kawasaki. We're the Gorge's biggest toy store.
Flagstone Senior Living is celebrating 30 wonderful years in the Dalles, and you're invited to join them for an open house celebration event this Saturday with a petting zoo, a bouncy house, hot dogs, and even an ice cream truck. It is guaranteed to be fun for the whole family. Tours will be available. Don't miss the 30-year celebration spectacular at Flagstone Senior Living, 3325 Columbia View Drive, this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Flagstone, where friendships are formed and memories are made.
Cascade Farm and Outdoor presents the Hood River County Fair, July 23rd through 26th. It's 4 days of gorge summer fun. Explore 4-H, FFA, and open class exhibits. Ride the epic carnival rides, Godfrey the Magician, Juggle Mania, and Not Your Average Joe the Balloon Guy. Plus pony rides, mutton bustin', and jump the ultimate dog show. On stage, Del Rio opens for Bonda Zeta Friday, and Creedence Tribute Band opens for country music superstar Drew Baldridge Saturday. The Hood River County Fair. Get ready.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road, on the Heights in Hood River.
8:32 in the morning, checking the news. Two Oregon Democratic lawmakers unveiled a proposal to pay for wildfire mitigation using a tax on oral nicotine products and sell the interest in Oregon's rainy day savings account. The proposal aims to raise about $60 million during the coming 2 years' budget for wildfire mitigation. That's far short of the total of $280 million benchmark that a group of three dozen stakeholders and lawmakers need to come up with every biennium to adequately pay for fire prevention and mitigation. About $150 million of that request was to pay for fighting wildfires, while the remaining under $30 million aimed at wildfire prevention and readiness. The new proposal headed for a hearing today. Hood River County Commission approved the county's budget for the 2025-26 fiscal year. It's a budget that deals with the ending of American Rescue Plan Act and other COVID-19 grants and increasing costs, including an 8-9% jump in public employee retirement system costs. The budget committee that worked on the fiscal document went with making cuts this year, including the loss of a position in parole and probation in an attempt to avoid major layoffs next year. Commissioner Ed Weathers said they faced tough choices. Clickattack County has gotten some good news in regard to a state grant it received a few years ago to construct an animal shelter. County Public Works Director Jeff Hunter told the county commission that the grant has been carried over to the upcoming biennium. That means the county has more time than originally thought to establish a site and an operational plan for the shelter. Commission Chair Ron Eyrig says he'll be talking with Goldendale officials about a few potential locations they could partner in developing as a shelter. Commissioner Todd Andrews added Goldendale has the most options, while Dallasport will be looked at with its central location in the county. Columbia Riverkeeper filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Energy, claiming the department is not being transparent with potential plans to develop the Hanford site. Columbia Riverkeeper filed the lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Portland, asking the court to force the Energy Department to release public records about potential development plans of the site. Sunny today. Highs will be in the mid to upper 70s. It's going to be very windy. It's very windy right now, at least where we are on the Heights in Hood River. Current temperatures, 61 in Hood River, 65 in the Dalles. 8:34 in the morning, White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne coming up next.
Making the decision for assisted living isn't easy, but what if the timing could help ease the burden? Hi, this is Jackie. At Hawks Ridge, we're offering a 3-2-1 summer savings. Move your loved one in by June 30th and save up to $6,000. $3,000 off the first month, $2,000 off the second, and $1,000 off the third. Give them the care they deserve and yourself peace of mind. Come take a tour today. Hawks Ridge, your second family is waiting.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Every success you've had began with a great opportunity. Now there's another one. Last aid year, University of Maryland Global Campus awarded over $21 million in scholarships to qualified students, including community college students, service members, veterans, and working adults. Now is the time to move your career forward with an online and accredited skills-based education. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpine Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep, it's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog, just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpine Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
And we welcome you back at 8:36 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We now have with us on the phone, White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Oh, all right. Well, another school year's in the books. You had your graduation a couple weeks ago, and you wrapped things up for another year, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, we made it through the end of the year. That last week always feels like 10 weeks, but we got through, and it was a great school year. Really, all things considered, we had a good year.
So the school year in the background now. Now you begin to look toward next year and budget for the White Sand Valley School District for the upcoming year. I don't think we've talked since the Washington Legislature adjourned, or maybe it adjourned just when we talked last and we just didn't know a lot at that point. What did it mean for school districts like yourselves when all the fiscal work was said and done?
Yeah, we're still in the process of building our budget, although it's pretty close to being done. We'll actually take it to our board in July. Okay. For adoption. You know, the effect of the legislators and the governor's approved budget, for us, you know, it's considered like a maintenance level budget. In our district, we have, costs are going up, salaries, benefits, all those sorts of things, but the modest increase to apportionment, was helpful. But we have less kids. You know, we've talked about this a lot. We have less students, and the money follows the students. And so, you know, for us, we've reduced our staff, our teaching staff, by about 2.25 full-time equivalent FTE. So we're down on staff, but that's through attrition, because we're just trying to keep our staffing levels aligned with our student enrollment. Mm-hmm. And next year looks no different for us in terms of the kindergarten enrollment. We're anticipating about 60 to 65 kindergartners, while we just graduated 97 students a couple weeks ago.
I say
so overall minimal impact on us, but we are in a declining enrollment, so
is
we're adjusting.
Is the 60 to 65 kindergartners, is that where you were at? Is that down a little bit from last year, or is that, or this past school year? Or is that about where you've been?
That's about where we've been the last 3 or 4 years, and that, of course, you know, is a projection. We won't actually know how many kindergartners until the first day of school, first couple of days of school. Mm-hmm. You know, we get some walk-ups, but looking at the trends, the kids who are the parents who have enrolled their students, we're about the same place we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So that 60 to 65 is a good budgeting number for us. We won't know for sure, but that's the trend we've seen the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. As these bigger classes are pushing out, we're just bringing in less kids. So we have to be, you know, really strategic around our staffing levels.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that right now, at least it seems, with that reduction, you're able to kind of keep up with cost increases. Does there reach a point where, as a district, I assume it's already more and more difficult to try to keep up with those. Do you reach a point where it gets even, where it almost becomes untenable?
Yeah, you know, like at some point, you know, this year it worked out for us that we had some retirements at the elementary level, which is where we needed to adjust our staffing level. So we were able to just absorb those and not have to do layoffs. But, you know, if the retirements year over year, the resignations year over year don't align with the grade level where we need to make those adjustments, you know, that we could be entering into a situation where we're going into, you know, a risk. Mm-hmm. Situation. So those are really hard to go through. I know many districts in our area in Washington have gone through layoffs. I know they're working through a RIF process in Hood River, and so those are really difficult and painful, but also, you know, really they become necessary because you have to the staffing is the biggest driver on your budget. Mm-hmm. And you've got to make those adjustments. Mm-hmm. Even though as I've told my I told some of my staff this year, like we have less people here, you know, so we can't continue to do all the things that we're always want to do with less people. Sometimes you have to do less. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of a reality that we're facing, you know, this year. We're next year we'll be okay with that, but as we look ahead, mm-hmm. We just need to prepare for that reality.
And of course, part of that involves, you know, what we've talked about really when you've been on the last few months, that's the facilities situation. Your committee wrapped up its work, if I remember right, last month. Is that, am I remembering correctly?
That is correct. Yeah, the facilities committee is done. Mm-hmm. I had a preliminary meeting with the project management group and an architecture company that we've been working with to begin to sort of conceptualize how we might remodel the intermediate middle school, how we might remodel the high school. We're beginning this phase of, you know, presenting this plan out to the community, getting some input from the community, trying to get a sense of what they will support, while also, you know, having a well-articulated plan. And that's really what I'm sort of waiting on at this point, is getting that official sort of release of the plan from the project management group, so we have a sort of official document that we can start to put out there. But as I've been doing, trying to communicate with the community about what the committee's recommended proposal is, trying to get that message out as many ways as I can. Mm-hmm. So we're in that sort of communication, here's the plan, you know, give us your thoughts, part of this process.
When will you receive from your consultants the document you're waiting for that plan? When do you anticipate getting that?
Soon, you know, sometime either this month or early July. Mm-hmm. And then we're also working on, you know, sort of, we're not finalizing, you know, blueprint drawings for the remodels, but we need to kind of get a sense of kind of what's the remodeling work going to look like? How many square feet are we needing to add to the buildings? How much work are we needing to do? So we can begin to also sort of scope out what's the cost of all this going to be? Mm-hmm. You know, adding new classrooms, it's all sort of cost per square foot, price per square foot, and that's where we're also trying to figure that out with the architects. So we're trying to bring those two things together so we can communicate out, like, here's kind of the concept, here's sort of what we think it's going to cost.
Well, I was going to say, I'll break that down in those two areas, because as you mentioned, you've been, you know, it's obviously been talking to folks in the public. How do they feel about the concept of the one, essentially a K-12 campus? Because that is something different for that community.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I think the community, at least the people in the community that I've talked to about that, sort of understand that elementary school, Whitson Elementary School, is just not fixable. You know, at least in terms of it's cost prohibitive. So nobody's excited about that. But people understand that the cost to fix Whitson is more way too much. You know, and so like the idea of having to close down Whitson and move our kids up to a K-12 campus, people are understanding. I think the parents that I've talked to in the community mostly, you know, one of their biggest concerns is they don't want their, because we've talked about this K-5 building or a K-6 building, and then a 6-12 high school, middle school, or a 7-12 high school, middle school. It's that split. You know, where do you split the 6th and 7th? You know, is it a K-5 or a K-6? Mm-hmm. And the parents I've talked to, you know, are really, you know, advocating strongly for a K-6 school over a 6-12 school. Mm-hmm. And actually that aligns with what the architects, you know, when we talked to them about the facility, you know, they said, if we're going to add square footage, we're going to have to add square footage to the high school or the intermediate middle school. And it'd be easier to add it to the intermediate middle school. So we're sort of tilting towards a K-6 school.
And of course, now this lends into then, you know, as you mentioned, you don't have costs yet. And I imagine it's almost impossible to really get a good feel for how the community feels about this until you can give them a price estimate to react to.
That's right. You know, I think you know, everyone's property taxes went up pretty significantly in Clickitat County. So we've heard that from a lot of the community is, you know, they're worried about the, you know, the escalation on their property taxes, which we obviously, I'm a resident too. I'm concerned about that too. So we want to also be thoughtful about, you know, asking the community to support this potential bond, but also mindful of, you know, are there ways that we can reduce some of the tax burden from the district on our families? And that sort of, math, you know, budget strategy is also part of our conversation. Like, how can we, you know, we're going to need to ask the community for support on the bond, but maybe we can pull back on our capital levy and have less, you know, tax burden on the community. So we have to really think about that too, you know, as we're putting this all together.
Yeah. So again, it just sounds like right now at some point this summer you will get that cost estimate. How hard though is it also, you know, with all this coming in the summertime? Is it difficult to get a good public opinion when you get all this during the summer when frankly schools do kind of become out of sight, out of mind for a lot of folks?
Yeah. It's actually, the timing is good. You know, at this point it's a lot of, frequent meetings with the project management group, just these sort of back and forths on some of the concepts. And then, you know, we'll be able to start to communicate out more directly with families as we begin to ramp up the school year. So the timing is okay. We're on a good timing schedule. I think we would ask the board to pass a resolution for a bond probably this winter, maybe December, and then, you know, look for a bond on the ballot in February. It's coming. You know, that was a realization for us too. Like, February is, you know, it's not that far away. It's 8 months away. And so we've got, between now and February, we've got a lot of communication work to do.
Before I let you get away here this morning, as I mentioned, it is summer, and that means for a lot of folks in the school personnel, things lighten up a bit. But as you know, Rich, for the people who do maintenance and building work, the busy season has begun. What tasks do they have in front of you in that district?
You know, honestly, you hit the nail on the head. Like, this time of year is the busy season for our custodial and maintenance crew, and they're working hard, really, at deep cleaning the buildings, getting things, you know, pieced back together, and you know, stripping the floors, rewaxing gym floors. They're doing that sort of work. So we're really proud of our maintenance team, and that's an interesting component of this facility work too. Is, you know, when you look at our building, like Whitson, you might look at that building and think, like, wow, it really looks nice from the outside. But when you start digging in on that building, it's really been well taken care of by our maintenance crew. So we're really proud of those guys. They worked hard. Guys and gals, they worked really hard to keep our schools looking good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is their busy time. And then I'm actually at a conference this week with a crew from high school where I think I mentioned we received a large grant from our foundation to support the implementation of Avid in white salmon. And so we're down here at this conference working on that right now too. So we're still working, still plugging away, still learning, trying to bring some good instructional strategies back for the schools next year.
You kind of garbled a little bit there. What is this conference for?
I'm at the AVID conference. So AVID is Advancement Via Individual Determination. And it's really a program, instructional framework that we will begin to implement at the high school, really about how do we have high rigor, high expectations, really push our kids harder in the classroom so they're, you know, up the expectations on them so they're achieving at higher levels.
Now, I'm trying to recall, I think you have a lot of experience with this from Hood River Valley, don't you?
Yes. So we implemented AVID at HRVHS 2014 or so, and quickly became, you know, just a centerpiece of our school. There's a specific sort of elective component to AVID that's directly supporting, you know, a cohort of students, but also there's a school-wide approach to AVID that is, you know, how can all of our staff use these great instructional strategies to elevate the academic, you know, and instructional rigor for all of our kids. Mm-hmm. So the AVID program in Hood River was really strong. And so I approached our foundation in Hood River about implementing AVID in white salmon. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, our foundation is so supportive and they've given us a 5-year implementation grant to support this. And so we're in year one right now.
White Sand Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. Rich, thanks for doing this as usual.
Thanks, Mark. It's good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you. It's 8:51 in the morning. We'll come back, start to wrap things up after this.
Hey, neighbors. Michelle here from Hood River Supply. The weather's nice, and we're your go-to for all things outdoor and agri-ready. As a locally owned co-op, Hood River Supply proudly serves customers and members throughout the gorge. From orchard supplies to garden gear, we've got your back, your house, and your yard. Need equipment repairs? We service everything from tractors to chainsaws. Plus, enjoy store-to-door delivery within 50 miles. Let Hood River Supply in Hood River and Odell help make this summer productive and fun.
Who's got the best beer selection in the gorge?
Beer selection? I don't know. Who?
Margie's Outdoor Store, that's who.
Margie's Outdoor Store in Bingen? I love those guys. But I thought they sold...
Beer, great beer selection.
Now I remember. Margie's was voted best beer selection in the gorge.
Margie's Outdoor Store wins beer award.
Margie's is located just east of downtown Bingen.
Beer.
Craving something cool, savory, or just downright fun? Swing by Scoopers, where there's something for everyone. Over 25 flavors of Umpqua ice cream, plus mouth-watering sandwiches, homemade soups, coffee drinks, Italian sodas, and milkshakes that'll make your taste buds dance. Planning a party? We've got 2 party rooms and a family-friendly arcade that keeps the fun going. Find us on 2nd Street, downtown The Dalles. Open every day. Scoopers, cool treats, hot eats, and good times for the whole family.
Revitalize your business with New Wave Digital Solutions. We specialize in web design, digital marketing, and search engine optimization to elevate your online presence. Our cutting-edge strategies are tailored to meet your specific business needs. From custom websites to targeted marketing campaigns, we provide innovative solutions that drive results. Explore how our expertise can transform your business success by visiting newwavedigitalsolutions.com. Discover the future of digital advancements with us today.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:53 in the morning. Want to mention again the Rowena Fire Recovery Multi-Agency Resource Center. Here's the agencies who are going to be there today. Columbia Gorge Food Bank, County Clerk, County Assessor, Community Development and Planning, Veterans Services, North Central Public Health District, Mid-Columbia Center for Living, Mid-Columbia Community Action, Adventist Health, Oregon Health Authority, Oregon Department of Human Services, American Red Cross, and Youth Think. And again, that is going to be from 4 to 7 today. They're going to be at the Veterans Service Office in Wasco County, 401 East 3rd, Suite 100 in the Dalles. So if you are in need of help coming out of the fire situation, you can go there and they'll be able to hook you up. As you heard also, Wasco County Sheriff Lane McGillum, if you can't make that today, call them. You know, he said they'll get you where you need to go. I hadn't really thought about it, even though it makes sense, what Blaine did bring up on the show earlier this morning about the need to be careful with chemicals in the aftermath of that fire. And for people who are going back in, probably do a story about this here later on for our afternoon newscast, but about the need to be careful going back into that area and some of the, they're bringing the EPA and some others to try to evaluate what is out there. 8:54 in the morning. We will come back and tell you what's coming tomorrow right after this.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:56 in the morning. Tomorrow, Caroline Crew is going to join us tonight. We have the Columbia Gorge. They've got a fundraiser, concert, and auction coming up next week we'll talk about. And also, Mid-Columbia Fire and Rescue Chief David Jensen. May have heard me mention during our conversation with Lane McGill that we're nearing the point where the incident management team for the Oregon Department of Forestry is going to turn command of the Rowena Fire area back over to the local authorities. So we'll talk to David a lot about, okay, where do you go from here on this? Because, as we talked about with the sheriff, this is going to be a long, long haul. And you're just the beginning of fire season. It's going to take a while to really, truly put this fire out. I mean, this is one of those that may be October before it's, quote, completely out. So we'll talk to David about what people can expect over the next few days, weeks, and months in that regard. On Friday, Oregon State Representative Jeff Helfrich will join us. I'm sure one of the things we'll probably talk about is finding funding for wildfire mitigation and prevention and for the cost of dealing with these fires. Marty Cantola-Dane is going to join us also on Friday. Monday on the show, it is going to be Hood River Mayor Paul Blackburn, City Manager Abigail Elder, and we'll talk to a member of the Klickitat County Commission. I think it's Todd Andrews this month. And on Tuesday, Tamara Tappell will join us from Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce. Talk about White Salmon 4th of July. We're not that far away from that. We're just a couple weeks away from the 4th of July. We'll talk about the activities they're going to have. And the Mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, is going to join us on the show on Tuesday as well. Wednesday, Jennifer Paletto from WAGAP will join us from Washington Gorge Action Programs. Well, we're done. For Cameron Eisenberg doing the producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
Rowena Fire Recovery.